Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word, and thank you for training your people here in this church. We believe, Father, that we will grab a hold of your truth and practice what we learn, Father. We are open to hear from heaven, and we want to change from glory to glory by your Holy Spirit. We thank you so much, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we learned about active mentoring. There are three kinds of mentoring: active, and then occasional, and then the one that just happened only distant, that you don't even know the person. But we were talking about active mentoring. In active mentoring, there are five dynamic things that need to happen in order to be effective. I'm reviewing right now. If you miss certain lesson, please order CD. Or the CD come out from the previous classes, you can order CD and listen. In the dynamics of active mentoring, we need attraction. People need to be attracted to one another. You cannot learn from somebody if you don't like them. You need to like them. Two, you need to have relationship. Relationship must go on. That's why I believe in care group or small group system, because people build relationship in that group and can learn from one another faster. Not only that, you need also responsiveness, or people respond to you. If people don't respond to the teaching or to the training, nothing gonna happen. And another thing is we call accountability, which means that you need to be accountable to one another in order to have effective mentoring. And number five is empowerment, which means that make a change in people's life. In the active mentoring, there are three kinds. The first kind is to make a new believer to be a disciple. New believer join the church. You help that new believer to establish a lifestyle of discipleship. Going to church, go to care group, read the Bible, pray, serve God, love God, tithing, serving. You help that person to establish the lifestyle of disciple. That is the first step of mentoring or discipleship. And then the second one, we help that person now to grow into maturity of Christ. In fact, mentoring or discipleship never stop until you die. But the process and the methods may be changed as time go by. I remember when I was a new believer, I was mentored by a couple for almost a year. Every single week, I went to their house and they taught me and Pastor Da the Bible. Very close to each other, we ate together. But after that time is over, I became a disciple. I left to another city and I was discipled by another missionary couple. At that time, it become a second stage now that God moved me to the level of growing, not new believer anymore. In the active discipleship, you have a continual meeting and fellowship between the disciple and the teacher, or the mentoree and the mentor. The third kind of active discipleship or mentoring we call coaching. How many people have been trained in certain kinds of sport or athletic activities? Have you played basketball? Have you get involved in school athletic function? Football or soccer or badminton or something that you were trained by a coach? The principle of coaching for the athletics activity is the same principle as coaching in the church. The only difference is the coach in the physical sport have authority over you to tell you what to do. You are in the team and you don't listen, they can fire you from the team. But in the church, the spiritual coach have only spiritual authority. He cannot fire you. He cannot cut you off. He can only teach you and train you how to do the job. So it really depends on your own response to the teaching or to the training. What is a coach? A coach is a person who have a set of skill to do certain things. And he imparts or train the mentoree to have the same kind of skill. For example, an evangelist may coach you how to evangelize. When I went to Pastor Rodney Church in Tampa, Florida, Pastor Rodney Hubbard Brown is an evangelist. The whole meeting was talking about how we witness, how we go out on the street and knock the door, and they even give us the word to say, and they train us, and oh, I tell you, the whole church, everyone is evangelists. They know how to save souls, because the whole church was trained by evangelists. Pastor Rodney was coaching his member how to do evangelism very well. Or people may coach you how to preach. How to preach the word of God, how to teach the word of God, how to lead worship, how to play guitar in the worship team. Coaching is about skills. Impart the skill and encourage those who are being trained to stretch beyond their own comfort zone. Sometimes we feel that we want to be in the comfort zone, but the coach will stretch us out and say, let's do more. Let's try new things so that we can be bold to do more things for God. In the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 9, keep putting into practice all you learn from me. You see, the New Testament talking about learning from one another or coaching one another. Learn from me and heard from me and saw me doing. Paul trained the disciple by teaching, showing example, and demonstrating how to do it. They saw with their own eyes how the Apostle Paul served God and did the ministry. And the God of peace will be with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, and you should follow my example just as I follow Christ. So spiritual coaching is about imparting the skill and showing how to do it. So in this process, you need some relationship there to trust one another and learn from one another the skill. I know that everyone in this room cannot have all the skill under the sun. Some of us may be good in certain area. Like I noticed certain brothers in our church are very good in computer. If you come to me to learn, ask, Pastor Lau, could you coach me to do computer? I will say, you come to the wrong person. I know only to type Word and Excel and do email. If the email breaks down, I have to call somebody else to fix it for me. I have no idea about computer, so don't come to me to coach you for computer work. You need to go to somebody else. Or if you say, I like to be good in worship, then don't come to certain people in the church, but go to Pastor Kenny or go to Wang Ji to learn how to lead worship or how to worship God. Coaching is about a set of skills. And you are good at certain skill, and you can coach other people. In coaching, you impart skills, and not only skill, knowledge. And you also impart confidence. Everyone say confidence. Confidence. You impart the confidence that, yes, you can do it. And I will tell you the step, how to build that confidence. And not only that, the good coach will see the good things in the student and try to bring the good things out of the student so that they can do beyond what they see themselves. Stretch them a little bit more and more and more so that the good thing inside will come out. Amen. Lately, if you notice, I let other pastors preach more now. I preach less on Sunday morning now because I want to stretch them. I want them to have more experience in preaching. I want them to have more boldness and more skill in preaching. And I'm very happy to see that we have so many good preachers all this year. God really helped us to train preachers. And the same thing in the care group, when the brother said a while ago that in that care group, the care group leader let the member take turn to teach. That is also stretching you how to teach, train you, and help you to go a little bit beyond what you can do now and go further so that you can get your full potential out of you. Okay? We have a tendency to feel inadequate. How many people agree with that? we have a tendency to feel very inadequate. Somebody need to come down and pull us up and help us to have more confidence and come out from our shell, come out from our feeling of inadequacy and do the job boldly, even though we make mistake. In fact, making mistake better than do nothing. Is it true? People who never make mistake never do anything. But if you have to do something for God, you're going to have to make mistake sometime. So we are not worried about making mistake. But you need to improve as time go by. You make mistake this time, you improve next time. Amen. Coach will help us to move to the next level. So if you are a coach in the church, you need to make sure that your student or your mentoree will move to the next level. And you become their model. You need to be a good model to them. It's so important because people look at you. Paul tried to say that, I am a good model to you. I'm a good example to you. Whatever I do here, I train you by showing a good example. Amen. I want to encourage all of you to be good example to other people and to train them and to coach them that way. They don't learn from you by just listening to what you say, but they'll learn from you by watching you, what you're doing. Actually, learning by watching sometimes even stronger than hearing. Do you notice that? You watch people do something and you learn from them so much. There are 4 steps of coaching. Number 1, demonstration. So you take another believer out into the field, or you want to train that person to how to pray, you invite that person to come to you and you demonstrate how to pray. Pray in front of them. In fact, a sister asked me that, should I come to the prayer meeting on Saturday morning? Because it sounds like all of your prayer requests to God are not really relevant. They are not relevant to me. Your guy prays something, is like, go over my head. I don't understand. I feel lost. But in fact, it's not about just coming to pray together, but you learn from the older believers how they pray, how they say it, how they exercise their faith, how they speak. You sit together there, you get trained that you don't even know that you are being coached, learning how to pray. You see, that is like on the job training. You learn from other people by just being around them and they coach you how to pray. Demonstration, you see the example. Second thing, debriefing. D-E-B-R-I-E-F-I-N-G. What does it mean, debriefing? It means that give explanation to what you are doing. Debriefing. D-E-B-R-I-E-F-I-N-G. You do something, but if you don't explain, they may not get the whole message. For example, I used to learn Taekwondo. I was 3rd degree black belt. I understand about coaching very well because when I first started to play Taekwondo, I was coached by somebody. And when I turned to 3rd degree, I began to teach people. I need to coach people too. I become a teacher myself. I was teaching for maybe a couple of years. Actually, they pay me to teach. That's pretty good. I got some money. I remember when I first went to the class and I saw my teacher kick a person who is so big like Steve Judge. He's huge. Like at that time, there were a lot of American soldiers. They were in Vietnam War and they camped in Thailand. So this soldier, a very big, tall, and very young, so strong. And my teacher, who is a Korean man, he just jumped up and down and he moved. Boom! The man, the big man like that, was pushed toward the wall and fall down in front of me. I was looking like, ooh, I like to be like that. Wow, this is better than Bruce Lee. Actually, my teacher is better than Bruce Lee. I have to say that. He's so good. He kicks so fast, he can knock people down in one kick. He's so good. His name is Kim Jung-soo. And I watch him, but it's not enough. He demonstrate. One day, he put all the students to sit around the room and he called one big guy come out. This is true story. He called that guy come out and he showed, I'm going to demonstrate to you how to fight. And he jumped up and down and boom! The guy flew to the wall and gone down in one kick. And I was watching like, this is great. One day I'm going to do like that. But it's not enough. He then sat down with me and he said, this is how you pull your leg up. This is how you make your foot and how you move your hip and how you move your body to make the foot kick out at the right timing and where you even hit the body. He teach me, he debriefed me everything in detail, how you make the fist and why you make the fist that way. Actually, I just have conversation with an anesthesiologist 2 days ago. I told the doctor that I like Taekwondo so much because it's very scientific. Everything is scientific. It's not just hit people. How to make your fist, how to punch your hand, everything. You can knock people down in one time if you know the principle, all principle, scientific principle. So he explained to me every step. He showed me, he pulled my leg up and do it. After a few times, a few months, let me punch the air, show me, I make mistake, he will move my hand. This is the way to do it. This is how you stand. So he debriefing, he demonstrating after a few months. Then after 3 months, okay, you come out, stand there, and I let you fight with another guy. I tell you, the first fight, I was in the hospital. True story. One big guy about Steve Judge come out. This is a soldier from America. He come and I was young, you know, like only 8th grade. I was only 8th grade. He come out, he like this, and I was like this, and he jumped to me and he kicked my face and I was knocked out one time. I went to the hospital. They CAT scanned my head, making sure I didn't have bleeding inside. I never forgot that day. This is a true story. So the third time is doing. The first one, demonstration. The second thing is debriefing, explaining, and then let you do it. But he was standing there. When I was fighting with that man, he was standing and he kind of moved this way. He kind of still give guidance to me. And after 2 years, releasing. He released me on my own. I went to northeast of Thailand to go on tournament. He was sitting up far away from me. I was on the ground fighting with those men by myself. Oh, this time is really stressful because no teacher around me anymore. I have to fight by myself. He released me to do it. So the same principle with coaching in the church. You show them, you explain the principle behind why you do that, why you do this. And then you go out with them and let them do it in front of you. And do some correction, some, again, explanation. And eventually, you do on your own. I release you. You don't need me anymore. And now you start to grow more. And even in the neurosurgery, the same thing in surgery. The world uses this principle every single place. But the church rarely do it. It's amazing. It's a principle in the Bible. Jesus raised the dead in front of the disciple. Is that right? He lay hand and healed the sick in front of the disciple. Then he get them 2 by 2 and send them out. He show, he explain, he teach, and eventually he went up to heaven and say, bye-bye, now you do it yourself. I'm God. The same principle. In surgery, the same thing. They show me how to cut, open the skull, make a hole in the skull, open the brain, show me how to take the tumor out. The second time I do it, and the professor was sitting with me, show me how to do it at the same time. By 5 years of residency, I am at night by myself. The teacher was on the bed sleeping. I have to do it by myself. The same principle. Should we do that in the church? Should we train the new generation to really rise up to replace you? In fact, we were talking about starting another center in Seattle here. And I just have the idea coming up last Sunday when I listened to Pastor Tyson preached. I come up with the idea. I was listening. I enjoyed the sermon so much. And I was thinking, okay, I think we're almost ready to pioneer another place. I think Pastor Lau is going to go. This church doesn't need me anymore. We have great preacher, Pastor Tyson, Pastor Caesar. I'm willing to go and pioneer the church myself with a group of people. Do you think it's a good idea? Maybe I should go to North Seattle and start in somewhere in Bothell or something like that. I'm serious. They don't need me anymore here because I train these people. They're now released to do it. They can run the church. They need to rise up a little bit more. The coach have to disappear so that these people can rise up and do their own thing. I'm serious. I'm willing to go and pioneer a new church somewhere. And this church can go on because I think I finished my job here already. This church will grow, continue to grow. I'm not kidding. I'm really willing to go out and pioneer. I know that we are not just by ourselves. We just still the same church. We just help each other, still in the same community. Some practical tips about coaching here, and then I will finish. Some practical thing. Number one, in coaching, you need to discover your own skills. You don't want to coach somebody else the skill that you don't have. And after you know your skill, you need to sit down and think carefully and break down those skills into basic and advanced, and you can explain those skills in detail. I give you example. This is just a taekwondo example. If I want to teach taekwondo, I need to break it down into basic, that the first thing that my student need to know is to make a fist. So I break it down like, okay, I will come to my student and say, you bend the first part of your finger, and then you bend the second part down and put your thumb in front of it. And make sure that your fist is straightforward, not up and down. So this is the first lesson, basic. If you cannot break this skill down, you see people make the fist and punch and you don't even know how they make their fist, then you cannot teach that skill because you don't know the basic. This is basic, how to punch, how to make the fist and punch people. The same thing with playing guitar, preaching, anything. You need to know, break down into basic, and you can explain all this thing in detail. And then identify potential mentorees. You look around in the church, look at people's passion, gifting, talent, and you may go and approach them and say, you'd like to get better in this area. Media department, you look around, you see people with potential to do media. You grab them and say, I want to challenge you. I think you have the passion. I will train you so that you will be able to do this job. Because one day I may go out pioneer the church with Pastor Lau too. So somebody need to replace me. You see, you need to train somebody else up all the time in your own skill, looking for people with the passion, with the ability and spiritual gift. And after that, you build relationship to be together, to be in deep fellowship. That's why I don't mind to have a care group that people interest in the same thing. If the whole care group all want to do media, fine with me. Yeah, but you gather people that do the same thing and have that care group together and invite people who love media, love internet and computer to come together as a care group together, and they talk the same language. They can talk about I don't know the language, like upload, download, what else, virus. You can talk the same language in that group. After you build relationship, then you demonstrate, you take them out together, do things together. Don't go by yourself, go together. I'm gonna go to Indonesia in May next year. I plan to invite certain pastor from Thailand to go with me to watch how I minister in Indonesia, because it's going to be totally different from Thailand or from here. So this pastor need to watch the older believers, how, or the older pastor, how to minister to the crowd of different nationality or different group of people. You see, people who will follow me and then watch me, and they have more confidence to do it. And a coach need to be a good motivator. Motivator, you need to motivate your student all the time to improve. How about you? If you need a coach, what are you going to do? Number one, you need to ask yourself first, what is my passion? What I like to do? What I really feel called to do? You need to find your own passion. In fact, these couple of days, I even feel stronger that I never understood all this until lately when I look back in my life 10 years ago. I love to watch a TV program so much. In that TV program, the people will get healed and come up, and demon come out, and the Holy Spirit touch them in that TV program. At 9 p.m. at night, I just for 9 p.m. had to run to that program and turn on. I saw that program and I felt so encouraged. And I did not know that that is my passion, is to see the people get set free, to see the Holy Spirit bless people. But I didn't know how to do it. So then eventually I went to the real meeting and I bought all the tape, videotape, and I put the videotape and watch. What is going on? I want to learn. And then I went to the meeting and get touched by God. Eventually I find out that that is my calling. My calling is to preach the word and to move in the Holy Spirit. So I would go nuts if this church go on without letting me move in the Holy Spirit for years and years. I'll go nuts. I don't release the gift that I have, then I'm going to feel so frustrated because I need to use the gift that God gave to me. I believe the same thing with Pastor Kenny. If I say, Pastor Kenny, don't lead worship for 3 years, I think he's going to go nuts. Because that is his calling. Every time he grabs the guitar and start to play and sing, he feels like a swimming in Waikiki Beach. He feels so good because that is his calling. Amen. So you need to find your focus. What is your calling? Then you look for people who can train you. Look for the resource. Who can train you? Who are good at this? And then you start to go to that same care group or build relationship and build accountability and set the goal to get the training done. Don't drag on forever. The principle of mentoring is switching from depending on man to depending on God eventually. You don't own anybody, you train them and you release them. The same thing, you are trained and eventually you are released to do the job. You are not tied with that person forever. You still respect them as a father or as a mother in the Lord. But you are not owning somebody. Okay? So that is coach. Let me make a conclusion about active mentoring and I'm going to finish here. So active mentoring, three kinds. Number one, training new believers to be a disciple. Two, helping established disciple to grow into the maturity, into the fullness of Christ. Three, coaching people to have certain skills. There is one problem of active mentoring. And that problem is called control. Why control is a problem? Because in active mentoring, there is relationship between two persons. And the student or mentoree cannot learn anything without submitting or without receiving the authority or power from the mentors or the teacher. So there is an issue of authority and submission there. You cannot do active mentoring without submission. And the mentor or the teacher can go overboard by controlling the student, controlling their life, telling them what to do, and dictating their personal life or even their ministry. And that is not healthy. You need to guard yourself. One day if you become a mentor, you need to guard yourself from controlling people. Period. Don't control anyone. How? Number one, you need to respect your mentoree's free will. You need to understand that God gives everybody free will. If God gives people free will, you need to give people free will too. You are not God. Amen? You cannot force people. And you need to lead them to be the kind of person that God wants them to be. You don't lead them to be the kind of person that you want them to be. Let me repeat one more time. You don't lead people to be the kind of person you want them to be, but to be the person that God wants them to be. It's about God, it's not about you. And two, set the timeline to finish. Don't go on discipleship forever. You need to set a timeline. Okay, this is it. From now on, you move on to the next step, next level. You don't take that active mentoring forever. changing from depending on you to depending on God. Encourage group mentoring. Get people in the group like we are doing right now tonight. Because in the group mentoring, it's hard to control anybody. Get people in the group too. Paul say in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, in the presence of many witnesses. So in other words, we are building up together in a group, in a team, not one-on-one only. Last thing, to avoid controlling. Allow the mentorees to check out anything you say and you do with other people, with the scripture, and with the Holy Spirit. If you do something wrong, they can come back to tell you you are wrong. They can go ask other people, have you overheard second opinion? In medical field, there are always second opinion. Give people freedom. They can go and check with other people what you say is correct or not. Don't control them. They can go and check in the Bible whether what you say is correct or not. They can check with the Holy Spirit too, whether what you say is correct or not. You need to be open for them to check with other people. Amen. This is how to avoid controlling. How many people want to coach somebody one day? Coach somebody. Should we leave this world one day to be with Jesus? With somebody behind doing the job? That's how the Christianity go on, is that right? Paul trained Timothy. Timothy trained other people. We should not leave this world and everything collapse. We should leave this world and the things still go on. The kingdom still go on. Amen. Not depending on one man show. Things can go on. If you leave the ministry will go on because you have trained somebody else. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we pray, Lord, that in our church will be a dynamic movement of training, discipleship, mentoring and helping the younger generation, younger believers to grow, to go to the highest level that you want them to be. Lord, help us to be so active and so flowing in this area, in this church, Lord. Lord, I pray that those who listen to this teaching in the future will be inspired, will be changed, and they will make a decision to do what they learned from this lesson, Father. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.